And now for a special year-end Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Sandy, it's a very special time of year for families all around the world, especially those who are committed to the person and the legacy and the lifestyle and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This is what begins the Christmas season for so many parts of Christianity. It's not Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Christmas Day is the launch of the Christmas season.
Right.
And we think about the 12 days of Christmas. That's something that's part of our culture and our history as well. We've talked about that on previous programs. We'd love to have you all go visit some of our earlier programs about Advent. But today is the last program that we're going to do with Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word series in the year. And over the years, honey, we've done a series quite often on the theme of remembering and forgetting. And we've tackled it a lot of different ways. And Norman Scher would do it from time to time over the years that they were sitting in front of these microphones. It's a legacy I think it's important for us to continue because I do believe it's important to remember some things and to forget some things, but not necessarily the things you think. The things that we often think we want to forget are the most painful things, the most unexpected or unwelcome things that come into our lives.
But the greatest teachers oftentimes.
And then we have books like Jeremiah, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, which for thousands of years have never let the people of Israel forget some of the darkest times in their history.
Right.
God put it in the book to anchor us in some important way to who He is. And I think America understands that we've had a time of great sorrow in the past couple of years with the COVID pandemic across this world. And we're seeing the unraveling of our psyche as a people, even things as far as traveling. People melting down on airplanes. We see that in the news almost every day now. Or care workers that are walking off the job because it's been so hard to stay there serving people who are so fearful and antagonistic at the same time in the hospitals.
Well, the trauma is overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So I think it's appropriate for us to tackle that one head on, not with the angle of we just want to see how bad things really are and then get rid of it. What I want to know is where God is in all this. So thank you for joining me in front of the microphone today to talk about that.
Well, I'm glad you invited me to do this. We've been experiencing a lot of these emotions ourselves within our family, within our friends that we know, dear friends that have been gravely ill and are
still struggling
and in the throes of recovery. And I'm glad that we're talking about these things because I think it's important to see God's perspective on this. Like you said earlier, what does God have for us in these things? And I'm not one of these people that believes everything happens for a reason. I believe we can choose to allow God to use situations and circumstances in our lives to grow us into the people of the kingdom that He is really calling us to be.
You know, I think about the inside man versus the outside is where I see the line being drawn, because what you're talking about is a permissive idea of God's will, in that we do give Him permission. Inside of ourselves, we do have this absolute right to tell God no about the things within us, but we have no right to tell Him about what He's going to do outside our own skin. And somewhere at that boundary, we have this gate that swings one way or the other. Do we welcome Him in or do we shut it out? The hardest thing for us as we grow in our faith is to allow God to enter in at the time we feel like we're most vulnerable, where we're most exposed, where we're most caught in something that seems out of our ability to cope with. It becomes a trigger for many people to say, God, You must have done this to me. Exactly. Others, of course, are much easier about throwing the gate open saying, God, help me where I am, and they welcome Him right in. I think both those things are in tension within us at all times, and then we face some really bad things in our lives. We get a stark choice, and we know we're making that choice to either shut God out or to let Him in.
When you asked me to be part of this broadcast today, I began to think about what we could say that would make sense, that would encourage people and not discourage people.
Exactly.
Because we want to talk about lament in some ways. We want to talk about the things that we don't often like to talk about in the church.
Let's talk about the word encouragement first. I want to encourage people too. And what I mean by encourage people is not just to make them happy. Compassion Radio enters into some of the darkest places in the world and finds the brightest lights shining. And that's why the stories are so powerful at times. We bring to you people in situations that would seem hopeless to anybody else but for those who are in Christ Jesus, that in the midst of struggles, in the midst of persecution, are building the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is empowering them in ways that can only happen because they're at the place where God's kingdom is being built the hard way.
Right.
You know, it's been a hard row for us to hoe the past couple of years in America, but we're not the only suffering in the world. We have to remember that to start with. But the word encourage is not about just making people happy. It is about encouraging, which means to put courage in. So if we talk about encouragement on this program, that's the first definition that we're starting with, to put courage in.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you might be facing, friend, if you need courage for what you're facing in the situation you're in, this program's for you.
The definition of encourage, it means literally that, what you said, to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. To inspire confidence in someone is giving them the oomph to take on the next step, you know? And sometimes we need that. And even in our sorrow, in our mourning, in our lament, we need to be inspired to have the confidence to keep going and to keep stepping through the situation we're in.
Now, one more thing we need to take into account here is that to have courage to do something does not mean just to suck it up, buttercup, and move on to the next thing and ignore what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the greatest courage ever is to face what we're going through and let us experience it.
Mm.
I mean, if Jesus is willing to sit in the garden weeping tears of blood from his body and ask God, if there's any other way for what you want to do to happen, do it. But nonetheless, whatever you want, not what I want or need or feel in the circumstance. He laid it on the line and spent an entire night in lament over what he had to go through personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a selfish thing at all, but it was something that was honest. How could he have gone to the cross and done what he did had he not already emptied himself before his Father and completely yielded his will to his Father to face whatever was coming with the confidence that his Father would help him to accomplish everything he set out for him to do? Maybe it feels like we're being forced by God to deal with suffering like we'd ever asked for. We didn't pray for this. We didn't ask for a pandemic. We didn't ask for the economy to collapse, people lose their jobs, or families be separated for months at a time. And yet God allowed that. And again, the universe stops at our skin, and we have to deal with the universe within.
Mm-hmm.
There's the next big battleground for the soul of mankind, is right in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make that choice. Let's take a look at what King Solomon, the writer of the Ecclesiastes probably, went through and why it was recorded the way it was in some of those famous passages in all the Bible.
We're going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which we have done in the past. We've talked through this passage before. We may have a little different take on it now after all of the situations we've been through in the last year. But I'm going to start in verse 1. There is an occasion for everything, in a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. A time to search, and a time to count as lost. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. There's a time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace.
I imagine, friend, that somewhere in those 8 verses, something's happened in your life in the past 12 months. We say, that's me. We feel like we've all left something behind in this past year. Truth is, friends, you picked up a new burden. And that is even heavier to bear when you feel like the joy of what you're bearing is not going to return. Maybe it is a lost one in your family, or an opportunity, or just a peace of mind, or maybe it was your faith, something that was challenged so hard that you thought, I don't know if I could believe in this kind of God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say a brash statement I've said before in the broadcast. If the God you've been worshiping is not up to the task of facing your problems and your circumstances, you, in this time, I would say with all seriousness, fire that God and get a new one, because it's not the God of the Bible. But we don't get to choose the God of the Bible. We get the choice to accept him or to reject him. I would encourage you to seek now, if you lost your faith in any way, seek now the true God, the one who stands right now at the center of this conversation with you this morning, to say, here am I, and ask you to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here too in this room. Let's deal with this.
Honey, what we've just read in Ecclesiastes is full of paradoxes.
Yeah, it seems that way. Yeah.
Each verse is full of that.
Yeah, it's a duality.
It's a duality of it, yeah. And it talks to us about the different emotions, the different situations that we face on a regular basis. We can experience both of those things pretty much at the same time.
Yeah, the same instant. Pick one, the embracing, the idea that there's a time to refrain from embracing. Don't touch someone. Mm. That is hard when all you want to do is be with somebody, but you can't. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the same time, you're saying goodbye to somebody and you're holding on to somebody else as you weep together that loss of that relationship. Those things are happening simultaneously, and God is aware of this.
Yeah. I really wanted us to focus on verse 4 for just a little bit, though,
Let's
if we could.
It.
It's exactly what we're talking about, these ideas of being caught up in the emotion of life.
Yes.
Verse 4 says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Those things are all in one verse.
Yeah.
And they seem completely opposed to each other.
They do. When we read the version that we did of this Ecclesiastes, there's actually an expansion, a breakout of both those terms that we put into our study guide. So we'll come back to that in a little while. But we understand it traditionally to be, sometimes you are to laugh, sometimes you are to cry.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean that never the twain shall meet.
Right.
Or that they shouldn't happen at the same time. Some things are just so absurd or so heavy that the only way to break free of the crushing defeat that might be right there crouching at your door is to laugh in the face of it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we feel like we're feeling crazy, like I shouldn't feel this way, and yet I feel like I want to praise God right now. I need to praise God. I need to worship. I need to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do something because I can't bear this any longer. That is valid. And that is just as much what this verse is talking about.
Yeah. One of the things that gave me the most comfort in the time that we were going through the loss of my mom and continue to experience that loss. But one of the things that was so confusing to me was how we could laugh at the time that I felt such deep sorrow.
Because your love showed up. Our kids walked through the door.
Yes.
Were there with us for all that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We had the joy of our children with us during that time. And I think that we laughed as hard as we've ever laughed during that time of great sorrow and mourning. I think that's what this verse is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that we can rejoice, that we can show great joy, show great happiness even, in times of great sorrow. It is possible.
It usually comes down to the point of presence.
Mm-hmm.
If we know we're in the presence of love, we don't fear that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the world is unmoored around us, if we have an anchor and we've got a boat, we can float these seas.
Right.
And those relationships, our families, the things that we count on that we maybe didn't even know we could count on, but at the moment of trouble, literally came to our rescue because they were present.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it not just worthwhile to keep going, but makes the moment itself worthwhile to be in.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that our listeners have had times like that in the past year or so where it didn't make any sense why this could be such a wonderful time. It shouldn't be. It's so serious. It's so awful, the things that we're going through. And yet God makes this thing come alive called joy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's related to what Paul says about peace that passes understanding.
Yeah.
You know, described by many of the apostles in one way or another. There's some place where you enter in where you know that God's there, where you just settle down in your soul. And you can't explain it.
Yeah.
You can't even describe it sometimes. People say, how are you so calm at a time like this? Because God made it possible.
Right.
But like we talked about at the beginning of the program, it's because we opened that door and God was able to come in and do these things. We let him do it.
Yeah. You know, honey, I think there are some things that we can learn from other cultures around the world when it comes to the topic or the subject of lament and mourning. It runs through a lot of Middle Eastern cultures. I've seen it in African cultures that a funeral or a time of loss is a time of celebration. Now, we talk about that here in the United States. We're celebrating the life of this person that we've lost.
I think if you're Irish in America, you probably get this because the wake is part of our culture here.
Yeah, but I've seen videos, mostly people that are dancing these wildly celebratory dances, and they're weeping as they do it.
Yeah.
And celebrating this person that they loved so deeply that they've lost. Wow, I wish I was free enough in my own life, my own spirit, to do that, to allow myself to do that. I think maybe because of our Western culture, disrespectful to me. Just to me. I'm not saying that anyone who does that is disrespectful of someone that they've lost. But that's the way I was maybe raised. It was a solemn, quiet, you don't get too loud occasion.
Now, let's be brave again. Solemnity is not about a show of sorrow. Solemnity is taking seriously the situation you're in.
Yeah.
And knowing what it requires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little children running through a funeral cannot be shamed into acting with adult-style sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to bring joy, period. So if they're going to be there and they're going to weep one moment and laugh the next, let them be children.
That reminds me of a great picture that our daughter Lyric took of our youngest son Cannon at Norm's funeral service.
Mm.
We were at the cemetery and we were having the service there and everything was done and people were milling around visiting a little bit. And she looked over and saw our youngest son Cannon, who was very young at the time, blowing a dandelion.
Mm.
And he had this look of just joy on his face. And he's blowing this dandelion. And she took that picture of him and she said, "Mom, I wish that everyone could experience the joy that he's experiencing right now in that moment of blowing the dandelion at a funeral."
Yeah.
To her, it was a symbol of something being torn away, but also of new life being blown out into the world, into the wind. And I thought that was really beautiful to have that picture in your mind of a child who, in his own way, he could understand somewhat what was going on, because we had explained it to him, yet he still had that innocence of joy.
He was in a new garden. It was a place for exploring.
Yeah.
Honey, I think the best story that leaves us with this example so clear is from 2 Samuel 12, mm-hmm. and this is David's experience of mourning. The man knew emotion and was not afraid to share it. So when he was told by the prophet Nathan that his infant son, the one that he had conceived with Bathsheba out of wedlock and against God's will for Bathsheba's family, when he told David that that child was going to die for his sin, it broke him. And he spent the next however long it took to plead with God to bring the punishment upon him and not this child. He just threw himself out. And as he did, those around him said, "That child had better recover, because if he doesn't, he's going to fall into a pit. We'll never get David back." It was that emotional. And on the day when that child did in fact die, according to the prophecy, no one wanted to come in and break the news to him. They were afraid they'd be killed on the spot out of his rage, because he was so certain that God would relent, and he was so invested in pursuing God and changing God's mind.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do it. And when the word finally came to David, they were afraid he would literally die from
grief.
But he didn't. At that moment, when he knew God's decision, he got up, he took a bath, he dressed himself, and he went to the house of God to worship.
Mm-hmm.
That is still the most appropriate thing to do, but it has to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be one of those things where your certainty of God's goodwill toward you and his holiness at the same time is so set in his stone, not in our vain hopes, but on the truth of Scripture and who he's already expressed himself to be, that we have the courage to get off the ground, take a bath, dress ourselves, and go worship.
For years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio,
P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Thank you, friends, for stretching your faith as we close this year. And as we begin a new year of opportunity, I sincerely hope we can continue to be a real encouragement to you now and in the days to come. And again, friends, thank you so much for making it possible.
Honey, why don't you read from the Ecclesiastes translation that we used in our Bible study?
We did with Ecclesiastes like we've been doing with a series on John, which is to take a very intimate and personal look at the scriptures in a modern English in a way that we could discuss it at length in our programs. And those studies are all available to you, friends, for free on our website. Just look up the word Ecclesiastes and search that on our website. You'll see the entire series we did on Ecclesiastes and all of the free resources, the Bible studies and the translations that you'll hear today. So this again is chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verses 1 through 8. To everything you can imagine, there is an appropriate time. For every event under heaven, an appropriate time. A season of birth and to give birth. A season to die and to let die. A season to plant and to let grow. A season to harvest and to uproot. A season to kill and to kill off. A season to heal and to be healed. A season to break down or to break through. A season to build up or to rebuild. A season to weep or weep with. A season to laugh with or laugh about. A season to mourn within or wail without. A season to dance or to enjoy the dance of others. A season to cast aside stones or to throw them with purpose. A season to gather up those stones for another round. A season to hug tight and not let go. A season to let go and long for the next embrace. A season to ardently seek and search until it's found. A season to obliterate so that nothing is left behind. A season to hang on to. A season to throw away. A season to rip apart. A season to repair that tear. A season to hold your tongue. A season to speak your mind. A season to love or be loved. A season to hate or feel despised. A season to wage war. A season to wage peace. Closing thoughts, honey, before we trust these fine people in our Compassion Radio audience to God's good care this last week.
I just want to say to our listeners that we are so grateful for your willingness to share your lives with us every week. And we pray the joys and the sorrows that you've experienced will be remembered well in your life.
Yes.
I know that pretty much everyone in this country has been touched in some way by loss. And we can't escape that. But we can choose, like you said earlier, honey, we can choose to allow the God of the universe to love us through it and to build us up through it and to heal us through those things. We can allow that.
And to those of you who didn't experience a loss this year, in fact, you may have experienced something that most of us are surprised about. Maybe something wonderful happened, and you feel like you can't even share that with friends because they're going through hard times, and you feel like your joy is stolen because of that. If God has blessed you in extraordinary ways, I want to say on behalf of Sandy and I, we celebrate with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially at a time when we need good news. Friend, if God has helped you survive this year and flourish in your faith, if he's blessed you and he's prospered you, we celebrate you because we need to celebrate those things. And we are proud of God's work in you.
Absolutely.
And I pray you'll stick with us in the days to come, that you'll end this year well with gratefulness and praise of God. And honesty, too, if there are things that are yet unresolved with him. And that we come together around this table again for our next Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word and look together at a future that God is absolutely in this. He's waiting for us on the other side of tomorrow. We have no better ally or friend waiting for us than him himself. Thank you so much for joining us for this special year-end Chasing the Word series on Ecclesiastes. We'll see you again next time.
All the glory evermore to him. Not I, but through Christ in me.
You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. God bless you as you stretch your faith. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio,
P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or make your gift through our website, CompassionRadio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.